We're doing Gemara Makos. We're up to the Beis and the Beis. We're up to the two dots. We had said in the Mishnah that if a person, if the pair of witnesses testify that so-and-so's Chayav Galus, that he killed unintentionally, so then he has to go to exile. They do not go to exile themselves, but rather they get 40 lashes. Minahani milis. The Gemara asks, what's the source of this? Says the Ramban in his commentary on the Rambam's introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos. Most of what you find in the Gemara is the Gemara searching where did the Tanoim derive things from. Meaning it's very common that the Gemara is going to do what we see now, that the Gemara is going to look back into the Psukim to derive where does our oral tradition come from. To the Tanoim it was obvious, but they didn't see a point in delineating it in the Mishnah. That's not the purpose of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara works its way backwards. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is Rabbi Yoshua ben Lakish. He started off life learning Torah, and then he went to become an armed bandit. He had his group of bandits with him, and then one day he saw Rabbi Yochanan, who was a very beautiful man, swimming across the Jordan. He rode down and leaped across the Jordan. Seems he was intent on robbing Rabbi Yochanan as well. He was a big, powerful man. And Rabbi Yochanan saw him and remembered him. That's the guy you used to learn with us. Said to him, Chelicha le'oraisa. Your strength should be back in Torah. And Reish Lakish saw his beauty and said, Yafusach le'neshaya. Your beauty should be on a woman. Rabbi Yochanan said, you come back and learn Torah, I'll convince my sister to marry you. Reish Lakish agreed, and he became Rabbi Yochanan's top pupil. We find many machloks in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan throughout the Shas. And Rabbi Yochanan learned by Reish Lakish, married Rabbi Yochanan's sister, and continued learning by him.
It's Rabbi Yoshua ben Lakish?
No?
Rabbi
Shimon ben Lakish. I said, okay. Thank you. Amar Reish Lakish, Damar Krom. Hu Yanus Adachat Arim. The Pasuk describes he will flee to one of the cities. And here we have a drasha of a miyut. The Pasuk specified he to the exclusion of someone else. And we understand that to infer hu velozo mimin. Only he who killed unintentionally goes to Galus and not the Zomimin. Now here we see an interesting point. What does Hu Yanus Elachat Harim tell us? If someone killed unintentionally, he has to go to one of the cities of refuge. Is that a mitzvah? Is that a halacha? Is that a safeguard? What is it for him? Meaning, if he leaves the city, he could be murdered. Yeah, the relatives could kill him. But does he have a mitzvah to go to that city? So we will explore that further, Bezrat Shem, later in the Masechet. But now what are we saying? He will flee and not the Edom Zomimin. So what does that mean? They're not allowed to flee? Or we don't obligate them to flee? Or they don't have a mitzvah to flee? Now what's going to be the nafkamina? The question is going to be, whenever we analyze things like this, we have to wonder, what role does Beis Din have? What role does the person have? Let's take an example. A person steals and he's caught. He has to pay back the keren and the kefel. He must pay back the principal and double. Does he have a mitzvah to return it? Or is it a tax to return it? When he returns it, should he say, oh, l'shem mitzvah, I'm going to do a mitzvah return double? Or is it a tax that the Torah imposed on him? When the Edom Zomimim receive their punishment, is there an aspect where that punishment is their mitzvah? Because if it's his mitzvah to flee to one of these cities, then what are you telling me? He has a mitzvah, but not the Edom Zomimim. Of course they don't have a mitzvah. Unless you'll start telling me they have a mitzvah to get lashes. Elamai, you'll tell me it's not a mitzvah. He has a capacity to protect himself. The Torah says, you killed unintentionally, go to the city of refuge, and that'll afford you protection. And the Edom Zomimim don't have that protection. Now that's not what it means. So you understand, it's not like now the relatives of the one they attempted to murder could kill them, so they don't have the refuge in the Ir Miklat. You understand the difficulty here? The miyut doesn't exactly fit what we're trying to say. We're trying to say they won't get this punishment. Is this a punishment for the man who killed unintentionally? No. The simple understanding is it's not a punishment. It is either a mitzvah or it is a protection. But it's a punishment? Oh, so let's leave that hanging for a minute. Let's continue. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, notice that Reish Lakish precedes Rabbi Yochanan, that needs a little bit of work. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Kal vachomer, umahu she'asa maaseh b'mezid einogole. If a person killed willfully, he did an action b'mezid, he doesn't go into exile. Hen she'asu maaseh b'mezid einodin she'lo yiglu. They, these witnesses, they didn't do any action. When a person murdered willfully, he did a maaseh, he doesn't go to galus. So when they, all they did was speak, they didn't even do an action, b'mezid. Of course they don't go to galus. So there's a tosus, not over here, elsewhere, that discusses when is dibur considered a maaseh and when not. Because we're going to see later on in the masechet that there's a biblical prohibition, lo tachsom sho b'disho. You're not allowed to cause your ox to... you're not allowed to withhold him from eating while it's threshing. And it says you're not even allowed to yell at him. And if a person would yell, then he'd get lashes because it's considered like he did an action. Akimat svatayim, you moved your lips when you yelled at the ox. So how come over here talking isn't considered an action? You're not allowed to cause your donkey to do work on Shabbos. If you yell at him to get him to move forward, that's called you caused him to do work on Shabbos. Akimat svatayim, the movement of lips. If you want to acquire an animal, so then it's enough to call it and it will come to you, and that's called a maisekinyan. You did an act of acquisition. Ah, but I thought we just said speech is not an act. So therefore, this is a big topic. When is speech considered an act? When is it not considered an act? But okay, we just opened up the subject. As you learn, you'll explore the subject further. Well, both cases are mezid. The question is it an action or not? We always assume an action is more stringent than... Right. But Rav Yochanan isn't working off of Ir Miklat. Ah, you're saying because it was mezid, they shouldn't go into galus. Right. They won't go into galus from the Ir Miklat reason. They'll go into galus from the reason of that the pasuk says, give them the punishment they wanted to dish out. It's a different angle. You're right. So the Gemara says, V'yanotenet. So if you guys want to build your vocabulary in Talmud, this is a word to write down. V'yanotenet means this supports the opposite conclusion. A murderer who killed on purpose. He did an action on purpose. He doesn't go into exile. So that he won't get atonement. Galus is a gift. The Torah allows a person to attain atonement through exiling, through going to exile. So when a guy murders on purpose, he's not given that privilege of going to galut. He doesn't need, we don't let him off that easy. He can't get atonement by just going to exile. Hen shelasu maaseh. They, these witnesses, they didn't do an action. They just spoke, even though they did it b'mezid. Nami liglu. You should also let them go to galus. Kiheshet levelu kapara. So that they attain a kapara. So the Gemara does not accept Rav Yochanan's kavachomer. The Gemara says it's the other way around. Galus is not a punishment. Galus is a kapara. Galus is a privilege.
Right.
That's why I said we'll leave it hanging. So now let's go back to Reish Lakish. What does the Gemara say? Ela machvarta kid Reish Lakish. Machvarta comes from the word chivar, which means white. What's white, what's clean, is like Reish Lakish. That Reish Lakish said, we darshan it from the pasuk. He, the one who killed unintentionally, he flees to one of the cities, and now, like Yehuda correctly pointed out, we understand he goes to one of these cities in order to attain atonement, and they will not gain atonement through fleeing to one of these cities. That the pasuk, when it says hu yanus, it's to the exclusion of someone, and we assume the one it's excluding is the Edom Zomim.
So it doesn't matter if there's people, people who are trying to kill the
Goel Adam.
Goel Adam. It doesn't matter because he still needs atonement.
Correct. Amarula, next Gemara. Remez. The word remez is complicated. We ordinarily assume the word remez means an allusion, that it is not derived directly from the Torah and it is not biblical. But that's not always the case. Remez leidim zomimin minatorah minayin. Where do we find an allusion to eidim zomimin in the Torah? The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Remez leidim zomimin. What do you want? The pasuk clearly says, do unto them what they intended to do. So what are you asking? Ela, but rather the question was, where do we find an allusion in the Torah that Edim Zomimin will get lashes? Because the pasuk says, v'itzdiku ta tzadik v'yoshu ta rasha v'ayayim binakot ta rasha. Okay, so now, does this make any sense to you? No. We got to open up a Chumash. Yes, if you really want to learn, you got to open up a Tanakh. So let's go get some Tanakhs.